To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The word of God that we'll dwell upon this morning is found in the second chapter of the Epistle of James, verses 1 and 5, as following reading this morning in the English Standard Version. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to those who love him? This is the word of God. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, whose grace toward us is impartial, and whose offer of salvation is for every human being, fellow students of the Word. My theme today is, there is no such thing as a partial Christian. And when you first hear that statement, it might make you think, well, that makes sense. You can't be part believer and part unbeliever. A person is either saved or he's not. You can't trust Jesus as your Redeemer and not trust him at the same time. And all of that is perfectly true, of course. But if that were my only point, then this morning's chapel service would be 15 seconds long rather than 15 minutes. But as you probably already realized, this passage in James is about the other definition of the word partial. To be partial towards something is to prefer it, to show undue favor toward it, to deliberately grant special preference to something or someone. This can be perfectly innocent, as in, I'm partial towards smoked ribs. Or it can be damning, as in, the judge, having accepted a large bribe, was partial toward the defendant. Partiality can be bad or good, but in our text for today, James makes one thing perfectly clear, that when it comes to the way believers treat one another, there is or there should be no such thing as a partial Christian. The Epistle of James was one of the first books of the New Testament written after Jesus rose from the dead and ascended. It was written by James, the head of the Jerusalem church, to Christians mostly of Jewish extraction scattered throughout the world. And the epistle addressed some of the problems that particularly Jewish Christians had, and this was one of them, partiality. My brothers, show no partiality, he says. This shouldn't even be in the Christian vocabulary. Why not? Well, first and most obviously, because partiality is completely inconsistent with the Christian faith. We all know the biblical principle. It's obvious. Believers are not to show partiality, to prefer one another over others because of wealth or power, someone is clever or attractive. A little later on in the chapter, James says plainly, if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. So that's the principle. Pretty straightforward. But when it came to putting that principle into practice, James' hearers were really falling down on the job. The apostle gives an example. He says that when a fine-looking gentleman would visit their worship services with expensive clothing, and they would cater to him, and they would treat him with great respect. You come here and sit in this honored place. From here, you'll have a great view of the pulpit. But if a poor person in shabby clothing showed up for church, they had no time for him. You can sit over here on the floor, or find some place in the back to stand. Which raises the obvious question, do we do that? Do we show preference? Do we look down on people who aren't like us? People perhaps with a different background, or a different bank balance, a different language, or a different skin color? Well, let me tell you about an acquaintance of mine. He's the poorest person I know. In fact, he has no money at all. Worse, he has huge debts. Debts that, let's face it, he's never really ever going to pay back. His clothing isn't just old and shabby. It's dirty and filthy and kind of repulsive. He smells bad. He has absolutely no redeeming features, nothing that could possibly ever make anyone love him or even care about him. Who is it? It's you. And it's me. Actually, it's how every human being is by nature. For the prophet Isaiah says, we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Each of us is guilty of a multitude of sins. We're spiritually broke, and by ourselves, we have nothing with which to pay the debt we owe our God. Enter the Lord Jesus. It makes no sense at all, but he loved us. He loved us from eternity with an everlasting love. He loved you and me so much that he intentionally walked right into the clutches of his deadly enemies. He said to Peter in the Garden of Gethsemane, "What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I came to this hour." And he went right on, from the betrayal in the garden to the court of Pontius Pilate to the cross of Calvary. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't show partiality? What if Jesus treated us poor sinners the way James' readers treated their poor church visitors? But he didn't. He died for all people, irrespective of wealth or status or social position, because that's who Jesus is. Completely impartial, welcoming everyone who will but come to him in contrition and repentance, seeking his forgiveness. And that's who his followers ought to be too, impartial. That's why James says, "Show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory." Why is there no such thing as a partial Christian? Because it's inconsistent with the Christian faith. But more than that, it's really inconsistent with the grace of God. James goes on, "Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to those who love him?" Let me ask you a personal question. How's your bank balance right now? A little slim, perhaps? A little too much month at the end of the money? Well, your heavenly bank balance isn't slim. It's flush. From a spiritual perspective, you're rolling in it. The faith in Christ that God has given you entitles you to vast wealth. The great riches of the kingdom of God itself now belong to you. Riches like peace with God, a quiet conscience, forgiveness for all your sins, the right to come to God in prayer and know that you'll be answered, comfort in every sorrow, strength in all of life's challenges, and most important, the assurance that you too, as James says, are an heir of the kingdom of heaven through faith in Jesus, and that you will spend eternity in perfect bliss with him. Or as the hymn writer put it, "We are rich, for he was poor. Is not this a wonder? Let us praise God evermore, here on earth and yonder." We can't be partial. It's impossible. In fact, there's no such thing as a partial Christian, for it's inconsistent with the Christian faith, and it's inconsistent with the grace of God. May God grant us all his grace, so that we welcome all people equally to partake with us in the riches of his kingdom. Amen. We pray. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, you showed no partiality in offering your life a ransom for the sins of the world. Even for me, the chief of sinners, the most wretched of your creatures, you made perfect atonement and freed me from my sin. Now that the riches of heaven belong to me, grant that I may be generous with others. Help me to spread the wealth of your love and grace impartially to all the people I know and meet. Amen. Hymn 97, stanzas 1, 2, and 3.
it'll be a blended team approach. We have a lot of people going to a wedding today, so 3:30 will be start time for those who will be available.